Well, you know, it's a great truth, because when a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, his Savior, there's a lot of changes that happen. I mean, God has a great plan and a purpose for each of us. Now, think about it. When you trust in Christ, he gives you that moment. He gives you eternal life. And we are changed. We go from death to life. We become spiritually alive as being born again. And not only that, we've been placed in the body of Christ, which is the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we're in Christ. We're new creations in Christ. But there's another thing. See, not only are we born again, not only are we placed in Christ, but the Bible tells us that Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And that's an amazing thing. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the passage, we're going to see it as we get to the very end, verses 19 and 20. What do you not know? Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. Well, tonight we're going to see the charge to glorify God in our bodies. Why? Because he lives inside of us. We've been bought with a price. So we want our lives to count for Jesus Christ. So as we begin, let me just remind you where we are. Paul writes what we call the correction letter. I mean, you know, there are a lot of letters, like we'll read Galatians, we'll say this letter's dealing with this, or Ephesians deals with this. Well, 1 Corinthians, we just call it the correction letter because it deals with so many different things. Corinthians were having so many problems. They were having division, pride, sexual sins, lawsuits. And tonight, as we continue, we see Paul commands these believers, and he charges these believers. Let me break down the passage for you. Normally we'd put this up, but look with me. Chapter 6, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. That little section, that's the charge, and he's going to talk about flee sexual immorality. And he's going to do it because he says, you're in union with Christ. If you're in union with Christ, how are you going to be in union with somebody you're not married to? Well, that's what he's talking about. So we'll see that. And then the second thing is verses 19 and 20, which really famous verses. And we got a group of guys that meet on Wednesday mornings, another group that meet on Thursday mornings. This is one of the verses, or the two of these verses, that we memorize all the time. And so this is a pretty familiar verse, but he's dealing with this idea that we're to glorify God in our bodies because we actually belong to him, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we'll see that as we go through it. So there's a lot of good things there. In fact, he says, we're the temple. We've been bought. Glorify God. Well, let's start. And we see the charge. This little section, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18, the charge to flee sexual immorality. Now, let's think about Corinth, because when you think about Corinth, you have to understand what's going on, because here's this letter to these people, and we say, what's the problem? Well, here's the problem. They were living in Corinth, and as you know, Corinth was considered the most immoral city of that day, of that culture. The culture was very pagan. There was the temple of Aphrodite there. They had 1,000 temple prostitutes. So that connected with the worship. And some of these people who are now believers in Jesus Christ came out of that false worship and came out of that whole system. And so in a sense, sometimes the whole idea of sexual relations outside marriage, to some of these people, they thought, well, I mean, I've grown up with this stuff. You know, I don't know what they're really talking about. So, and oftentimes, in fact, best we can tell is apparently some people in the Corinthian church were going back maybe with the temple prostitutes from the temple of Aphrodite. So we're going to see how that ties together. He's going to talk about that the body, your body, is not for immorality. Now, we would say, we know that. Everybody knows that. Does everybody live that out? And do the Christians who know that live it out that way? What's it like? Well, we're going to talk about that. His message is to flee, get away, get all this. We live in the same kind of culture that the Corinthians. I mean, everything is sexual. There's pools everywhere. It's visual in our movies, our TV, our books, our magazines. Everywhere is a visual aspect, especially with the idea of sexual sin. Our culture, sees nothing wrong with sexual relationship outside marriage. Think of the movie stars. None of them are married. They all got kids. They're all going places like, oh, Tom Cruise and somebody else had this child. And one of these days, they're thinking about getting married. They don't know if they ever will. But, you know, that, and everybody goes, that's just so wonderful. They're our heroes. They're not my hero, by the way, but they're a lot of people's heroes. And that's our culture. Even believers have fallen into this. I told you, I think 2 weeks ago, that in one of the studies that I found, that they found that unbelievers who live together, the percentage of people who are not believers and live together, is just a little bit higher than people who claim to be believers who live together before they're married. Not much difference. Isn't that amazing? You'd think, okay, Christians, you know, everybody knows Bible, what it says, so believers wouldn't do that. It's not much difference. As he begins, he reminds them of why not have sexual relations outside marriage. You know why? The answer is because they're in union with Jesus Christ. And for every one of us in this room, if somebody said, would it be wrong? Well, let me ask you, would it be wrong to have sexual relations with somebody you're not married to? Why? Just because it says it's wrong? No, the bottom line in this passage is because you are already connected with Jesus Christ. You're in union with Him, and you're not to be in union with somebody you're not married to. The church is the what? The bride of Christ. We're connected in that way. So watch what he does. He starts in verse 15, and he's going to talk about, he reminds them not to have sexual relationship outside of marriage. Why? Because they're in union with Christ. Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. That's real strong what he just says there. But he begins with the question that expects the answer that they do know. He says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? The answer is yes, we know that. We know that we're connected with Christ. We know that when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we're placed in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that when a person believes, they are placed in union, are baptized into Christ. So he says, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 says that we're in the body of Christ, which is the church, the believers. So he's saying this, that he says, don't you know? And the answer, of course we know that. We know that when we believe in Jesus, we're placed in Christ and we're members of Christ. So this is the question then. If you know that, shall you get connected with a prostitute? That's what he goes on to say. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? He says, should you get connected with a prostitute? If you're connected with Christ, you should go get connected with, and let's just put it this way, with somebody you're not married to. He says, may it never be. It's meganoita in the Greek, which is the strongest negative you can come up with. He's saying, no way, no way. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Some of the Corinthians might go, what's the big deal? We've been going up to the temple of Aphrodite most of our lives. What's the big deal? He says, wait, don't you know? You're a member of Christ, right? Aren't you connected with Christ? Well, yeah. So you're going to not be connected with Christ, or you're going to stay connected with Christ and then go connect with a prostitute? That's what he says. He says, if you're in union with Christ now, how are you going to be connected with a prostitute? He says, no way. It's unthinkable, if some have said, read this quote, it says, it's unthinkable to take that which belongs to Christ and in union with Him and use it for immoral purposes. See, because believers are the bride of Christ, and we're not to connect with, as easy as this passage, the prostitute. We'd say, connect with somebody you're not married to. See, the Corinthians would say, sex is harmless. I mean, sex is, that's our culture. That's what sex is. Well, our culture thinks the same way today. Our culture says sex is recreational. I mean, it fulfills a need. And you don't have to be married to have sex. That's our culture. The truth, if we are connected with Jesus Christ, and we are, we're not to be connected with someone who we're not married to. That's what he's talking about in this section. So he's going to contrast it. He's going to contrast between the harlot and the Lord. Watch what he says, verse 15. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. And he's going to talk about the harlot or the prostitute first. And he says, do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? He says, when you have sexual relations with somebody you're not married to, you're connected to them. He quotes Genesis 2:24. It says, for the two shall become one flesh. Now, I want you to understand, a lot of people say, oh, wait a minute. Does that mean that they're married because they have sex? No. The Bible never says two unmarried people, or a person who's married and another person not married, if their people are not married to each other and they have sex, it doesn't make them married. He doesn't call it marriage. He calls it adultery, or he calls it porneia, which is illicit sexual relations. He is quoting Genesis 2:24 to show that when you have sexual relations with somebody, you're connecting with them in a bodily way. And he says, don't you know? And of course the answer is, yeah, we know that. We know that. Don't you know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? Sex puts you in some type of union. It's not harmless. Our society wants to say that, well, sexual relationship out there. Marriage is not a big deal. I mean, who set all this up anyway? That's what our society says. Pastor David Williams in Chicago says this, sin is now a dysfunction or some syndrome that people have. Personal responsibility is now given away to victimization. We say sin is not harmful or wrong. Yes, it is. When we have illicit sexual relationships, we who are connected with Christ are not to connect with somebody we're not married to. This is what this passage is about. It would say, well, golly, yeah, because see, this is what was happening in Corinth. And guess what? It happens here. Our culture here is just as bad as their culture then. So he says, don't you know that whoever joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? And he says, for the two shall become one flesh. Now he's going to contrast it. And he says, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. When you join to the Lord by faith, you become one. You become in union with him. So he's really saying, how in the world that you are in union with Christ are going to be in union with a prostitute? When you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you're connected with him. When you have sex with a prostitute, you're connected with him. That's not supposed to be. That's what he's talking about. It's pretty powerful. I mean, we can be just flat out simple and say, if you are never to have sexual relationships with anyone you're not married to. It's that simple. Because your body is connected with Jesus Christ. You're the bride of Christ, and you're not to have illicit sexual relationships. It's just that simple. That's what Paul is saying here. That's pretty powerful. People all want to say, well, you don't have sexual relations outside marriage because it's wrong. Why is it wrong? Paul says it's wrong because you're already connected with Christ. That's why it's wrong. So he says, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. These are hard passages. You know, I want to say, well, let's hurry up and get to chapter 7. Well, chapter 7 is not any easier. In fact, chapter 7 gets harder. You say, well, let's get to chapter 8. Well, okay, chapter 8's meat offered to idols. Okay, let's skip that one. Let's get to chapter 9. Well, I can't find anything there we want to talk about. It's kind of a hard book, issue after issue. Now he gets right down to the bottom line, verse 18. Flee immorality. Flee it. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Now, the bottom line starts off with the charge. Flee immorality. It means get away from it. In fact, the way it's written in the Greek, it says, keep on fleeing immorality. He says, keep on getting out of, get away. Hebrews 13:4 says, the marriage bed is undefiled, but God will judge fornicators and adulterers. He's just talking about that illicit sexual relationship is always going to be dealt with. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust. We got a group of guys we meet on Wednesday morning, and one of the studies we're doing is we're calling it Discipline for Godliness, is for men to discipline ourselves to be godly men. And one of the lessons, in fact, two of the lessons we've been going over deal with sexual purity for the guy. And we looked this morning at, there's been a contrast, we looked at the life of David and the life of Joseph. And David was a man who fell, and Joseph was a man who didn't fail. And what did Joseph do? When the temptation came, when the situation came, what did he do? He ran out of there. He fled. He got away from the situation. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says, flee, get away from immorality. The best way to deal with sexual temptation is to get away. Get yourself out of that situation. Let me tell you, there's some people that say, I'm okay. I'm okay. I think I can handle this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, take heed lest you think you stand, you what? You fall. Not one of us in this room can say, I wouldn't happen to me. It could happen to any one of us in this room. You put any of us in the wrong place at the wrong time, most likely we're going to do the wrong thing. You better be careful. Take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. Because the moment you say, wouldn't happen to me, you're opening the door to put yourself in a situation where you can fall. So he says, flee immorality. Get out. Get out. Then he says something a little bit hard. It says, every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. And some people say, wait a minute, that's not necessarily true, because when people sin, sometimes other sins will affect the body. I think what he's trying to say here, and I'll give you two things on this. One, when he says, every sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. I think he's trying to get this idea that because you are connected with Christ, when you have a sexual relationship sin, you're sinning against your own body because you are the bride of Christ. That's the picture. Some are saying that he's using some kind of famous saying of that day, which would be, don't worry about this. Most sins are outside the body. Some sins are inside the body. And some people are saying he's just using that as a quote. But I think the best way to take it is when he says that the sin outside, that most sins or every sin that a man commits is outside the body, but immoral man sins it against his own body, is that it is going to have an effect on you in a different way because of your connection with Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ. Let me ask you something. Who are you married to? Well, I'm married to my wife. I'm married to my husband. No, no. Biblically, you are married to who? Jesus Christ. You are the bride of Christ. He's preparing us without spot and without blemish. That's the plan. So he's really saying to the Corinthians, don't you know who you are? And the answer is they do know, because he said, do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? And all of the way it's written in the Greek, all the answers are expected to be yes. Yes, we know. We know. He says, you know you're the bride of Christ. You know you're connected with Christ. You know you're in union with Christ. How in the world are you in union with Christ going to put yourself in union with somebody you're not married to? And in this instance, it's the prostitutes, most likely the temple prostitutes from the temple of Aphrodite. But in an application, it could be anyone that has a sexual relationship with somebody they're not married to. So he says, flee it. And the bottom line that we would say in these first few verses, 15, 16, 17, 18, he says, you know who you are. And if you belong to Christ, don't connect with something like that. In fact, flee it. Get out. I think the greatest thing for us, men or women, but I think of men a lot because of our men that we meet on Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and all of that, is the very best thing when situations come that could, maybe not a wrong right that second, but could lead to something, the very best thing to do is what? Get out. Get out. Don't put yourself in those situations. He says, flee it. Flee it. Now, from there, we get to the second big idea, and that's the charge to glorify God in our bodies. Because, see, this is the key. He's really saying, listen, don't dishonor God in your body by being connected to a prostitute. He says, honor God in your body. You know what's so amazing? A lot of times we talk about, you know, we want our lives to glorify God. But have you ever thought about over and over, he keeps making the emphasis, your body. This passage says, what do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you. Therefore, glorify God in your what? He didn't say glorify God in your life. He said glorify God in your body. And over you see in the scripture that he talks about your body. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He didn't say present your lives as living sacrifices, even though that's correct. He says your body. So the emphasis here is your body, who you are, how you live out on this earth. And so he says, listen, I've been telling you, you're connected with Christ. Don't get connected that way. In fact, don't dishonor God. Bring glory to God. So in verse 19 and 20, let me just read it. He says, do you not know? Guess what the answer is? Yeah, we know. Same thing. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your, notice the flow of this passage, in your body, because that's what he's been talking about. So here's the charge. And as we look at the second one, it's that to glorify God in your bodies. We're to live for God, not for ourselves. We're in union with him. It makes a difference. There are three things we see. And if I had our slide thing, we could show it up here. But there are three things he's going to talk about. He's going to say who we are, why we are who we are, and what we are to do. Who we are, we're the temple. Why? Because we've been bought. What are we supposed to do? Glorify God. I'll give it to you as we go through it. So think about this. That's what he's going to say. He's going to say, who are you? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why am I the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because I've been bought with a price. Well, what am I supposed to do then? Glorify God in this body. Watch what he says. Look at verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? I love this verse because we quote it a lot, and we talk about living for the Lord and making an impact for Jesus Christ. But even you look at the flow of the passage, and it's okay to pull these verses and say this passage is telling us to offer our bodies and to live for the glory of God and realize who we are. But if you remember, the whole flow of the passage is the sexual sin of the Corinthians. And how they're dishonoring God in their bodies because they're connecting the connection with Christ with a prostitute. And he's saying, don't you know that your body is the temple, is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And they would say, we know that. See, a lot of times we know things, but that doesn't always change the way we live. And see, when we begin to mature is when we live out what we know. See, that's the difference. In the book of Ephesians, we've been studying on Sunday night, chapters 1, 2, and 3, who we are in Christ. That's who we know who we are. Chapters 4, 5, and 6, how to live out who we are in Christ. And see, there's a whole bunch of us that know who we are in Christ, but are we living out who we are in Christ? That's the key. And so, look what he says. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You got it. You got him from God. And you're not your own. Now, the first thing we realize is who we are. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's two words in the Greek for temple. There's the word hieron, which means like the big walls. And like if you'd come up in the old days when the temple was standing, you'd see this big old wall going all the way around. And if you go through these gates, then you'd go into this big area and you'd see the place where they offered the sacrifices. Then you might even see the inner part of the temple, you know. Now, you couldn't go in there. That's the word hieron. So you could say big old temple. There's another word called naos, which means the inner part. It means the dwelling place where God would dwell. This is the word used here. He says, do you not know that your body is a naos? The place where God dwells. Not an outside wall, but the place where God dwells. You got the Holy Spirit inside you. You and I, when we walk around every day, we're carrying God around. He's inside of us. When we think about, I might sin, we don't always think I might sin. Of course, I don't want God to see me. God says, I'm in here. You know, I'm right here with you. Of course, he is everywhere. You know, Jonah found that out when he tried to run. It doesn't matter where you go, God's with you. Even in the middle of the belly of a fish. Don't you know that your body is a temple, a naos of the Holy Spirit? That's God living inside you. Who is in you? Remember, Jesus had told the guys before he left, he said, you know, experience that I go away, because if I go away, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth comes, he'll teach you all things. He talked a little bit later, and then he says, you know, he has been with you, but then he will be in you. And here's Paul writing to believers and said, don't you know that your body is the dwelling place of God, the Holy Spirit? He's in you. When you trust Christ as Savior, God comes to live inside you. Jesus Christ comes to live inside you. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. And this is where we have the power to live. Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture so that when you study it, you go, huh, I'm seeing that. That's the Holy Spirit going, that's right, I'm showing it to you. And when you seek to live for the glory of God, it's the power of God in you, the Holy Spirit. He says, don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God? Who gives us the Holy Spirit? God does. God sends the Spirit. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to the Father. When I go to the Father, then the Bible says that both the Father and the Son sent the Spirit. So I want you to understand something. That the Father sent the Son, and the Son and the Father send the Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going back, and when I go back, we'll send the Spirit to you. So you won't be by yourself. So don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. But while I'm gone, I'm sending the Spirit of truth to help you. Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Wow. If we thought about that more often, we might not do some things. You know, because we might realize, wow, look what I'm doing. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Well, that takes us to the second thing. The first thing is, you know, who are we? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why are we the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, he says you're not your own. Why? Because you have been bought with a price. You've been purchased. We've been redeemed. That's what redemption means. He says you have been bought with a price. And the word bought there is one of the words for redeem, which means to purchase by paying a price. See, we owe God death. We're supposed to be separated from ever, but Jesus Christ came and purchased us. He paid the penalty. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ did what? He died. 1 John 2:2, he is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and Jesus Christ came and bought us. Jonathan Edwards said, you know, the one who purchased us is Christ. You've been bought with a price. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the what? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. There are three, when you see the word bought or redemption in the Bible, there are really three words. There's one word that means to buy or to purchase. There's another that means to purchase out of the slave market. And then there's a word, another third word that means to purchase out of the market and set free. The word happens to be in this passage just the word to buy, to go purchase. But in the Bible, there are all three aspects of it, because Jesus Christ came and purchased us. He purchased us and pulled us out of the slave market of sin, and he pulled us out of the slave market of sin and set us free to serve him. That's what you get when you put all three of the Greek words together for redemption. So he says, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? Yeah, I know that. You're not your own. It's from God. You're not your own. Why? Because you've been bought with a price. Who owns you? See, it's not your body. See, we think it is. Remember the people saying, a woman can do with her body whatever she wants. It's not her body. I can do whatever I want with my body. No, you can't, because it's not your body. It's been bought with a price. Been purchased. You've been bought with a price. You belong to Jesus Christ. We've been bought out of the slave market of sin. We're not our own. We've been purchased. We belong to Christ. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So there's one more thing, and that's the third thing. He says, who are we? We're the temple. Why? Because we've been bought. Then what are we supposed to do? Therefore. Remember, when you see a therefore, it's giving you a summary. And so you look back and you say, okay, what is he bringing together? Therefore, since we're to flee immorality, since our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, since we've been bought with a price, therefore, what do? We glorify God in your body. That's what he says. Glorify God in your body. We'd say it this way. Glorify God in our bodies. Live for God. Use the body that God has given you for his glory. And in the contrast of this passage, he's saying to the Corinthians, don't use your bodies to dishonor God because you're connected with Christ. Don't get with a prostitute that's going to dishonor God in your body. But since you've been bought with a price and your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore then glorify God in your body. That's the contrast. And that's why he does that. Too often we just read verses 19 and 20 without reading the little section that it goes in. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We are in union with him. We're under his authority. We're to be careful what we do with our bodies. That's why I love Ephesians 4:1. He says, walk worthy of the calling which you've been called. Live out who you are. You are a child of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's living inside you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We're to use our, and you can say, live our lives for the glory of God. In this passage, his emphasis is on your body and what you do with your body. Isn't that incredible? Wow. Glorify God in your body. Our bodies are for the glory of the Lord, not for sin and slavery, but for the glory of God. We're children of God. We're saints. We're set free to serve. And so we could ask ourselves the question, how are we living? Are we glorifying God in our lives? Are we living for ourselves? Do we realize that we're not our own? We've been bought with a price. So the charge, glorify God in our bodies. Wow. What have we seen? And then we'll open it for any questions. First of all, the body is not for fornication. He says, flee it. He says, well, how we live does matter because, see, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have been bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body. So let me give you some applications, and normally we'd be throwing them up on the board there, but let me give you the first one. The first one is to flee sexual sin. Flee it. If you're in a situation, you got to get away from it. You got to get out of it. It's wrong, and God will deal with it. He deals with his children. He loves us more than we can imagine, but he says he deals with, he will judge adultery and fornication. Adultery, and best we can understand from Scripture, the word for adultery means that one of the people having the sexual relations is married. That's adultery. Porneia, we get our word pornography from it. It's just the word for illicit sex. It just means there are two people who are not married are having sexual relations with each other. He says in this passage, you can't join yourself to somebody you're not married to because you're already connected with Christ. Remember who lives in you. You're in union with Jesus Christ. This sin will affect you. And I tell you, we talked about it this morning. When do you make this decision on how you're going to deal with sexual things in your life? You don't make it in the heat of the action. You make it now. You make it and say, these are my choices. This is what I'm going to do. And then you don't put yourself in those situations. And if you get in a situation, you flee it. You do what Joseph did. Make a decision from this moment on, regardless of your past, from this moment on, you're going to be pure in this way. Your body belongs to Jesus Christ, and you're going to flee sexual sin. Because you're going to have to, because our culture is pushing it on you. We're not to take our bodies, which are in union with Christ. We are His bride and have sexual relations with somebody we're not married to. It's that simple. Second application. First one is flee sexual sin. Second one is live our lives to glorify Jesus Christ. In fact, we could put it this way. Use our bodies to glorify Jesus Christ. And I got three things. First of all, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you. He teaches us. He gives us the power to serve. Makes a difference how we live. Number two, first, the body's the temple of the Holy Spirit is in us. Number two, we have been purchased. We are not our own. We're to obey the one who bought us. Jesus Christ purchased us. And then number three, or C, under this thing is, so glorify God in our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been purchased. Glorify God in our bodies. Look at your life. Are we glorifying God in these bodies? There's a whole bunch of pressure. There's a whole bunch of a world system that is pulling you, that's putting things right in your brain. There's a great Proverbs, one of the Proverbs that says, guard your hearts because from it flows the wellspring of life. He's saying, guard what's coming into your brain. A verse that's really been helping me lately, is the one that says, take every thought captive. See, sometimes thoughts come in your brain. You didn't even plan those thoughts, right? It just all of a sudden came in your brain. But what it means is you take charge of those thoughts. You don't have to think on things that are bad. In fact, what the passage says in Colossians, if you've been raised up with Christ, and you have, think on the things above. And in Philippians, he says, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, report. If there's anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So take every thought captive. Watch what's going into your brain. Live for the glory of God. So I got here at the end. May we flee sexual sin knowing that we're in union with Christ. And may we glorify God in our bodies knowing that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not our own. We have been purchased by God. There's some great things there. Next week we get into chapter 7. And when you get into chapter 7, he's going to begin to answer some of the questions that they ask. And a way you can tell this, listen how chapter 7 begins. It says, now concerning the things about which you wrote. You get to chapter 8 and he says, now concerning these things sacrificed to idols. And in chapter 11 he says, now concerning this about the Lord's Supper. Chapter 12 he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. The rest of the book he is going to be dealing with issues that they ask him questions about. And he'll say, now concerning this, because they said, what about spiritual gifts? What about meat offered to idols? What about relationships between men and women before they're married? And what about divorce? And what about this? And what about this? And they ask him all these questions. And so the rest of the letter, we're going to see in a lot of places, he's answering these questions. So we'll start seeing that next time. Won't be next week because we have that special program, but then it'll be after that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these great truths. First of all, Lord, we know that you teach us to flee immorality, to flee sexual sin, because see, we know, Lord, we're in connection with you. And our bodies are members of Christ, and in fact, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so who are joined to Christ are not supposed to be joined to anyone else, especially the one we're not married to. So may we flee immorality. And then, Lord, may we, in a sense, turn it around and live our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ, that we'd glorify you in our bodies. We realize that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit because you live inside of us, and that you purchased us. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. So, therefore, we are to glorify you in our bodies. So, may we do that. Thank you, Lord, for this passage. And help us, Lord, as we continue to go through the book of Corinthians, seeing these great truths that we can apply right now in our lives. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.